CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. SLS, Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, is here. SLS, the Artemis system, did not fire correctly, and there was a delay, a glitch, it used to be called. Bob, a very good evening to you. The glitch, as I read it generally, was in one of the engines. Can you explain, please? Good evening to you.
Oh, John, I love that word, glitch. It's such a fake word created by bureaucrats in D.C. to make big problems appear, not a big deal at all. It's such a fake word. There wasn't one, quote, glitch. There were several serious issues that prevented the Space Launch System rocket by NASA to launch as planned on its test mission, unmanned test mission to send an Orion capsule to the moon and back. That attempted launch was supposed to occur on Monday, August 29th. They scrubbed the launch because of several problems. First, they had another hydrogen leak in the fueling system. And this is not a surprise. They've had several of these during the dress rehearsal countdowns. And it's also not a surprise because the shuttle, which used the same fueling system with hydrogen, had similar problems. Hydrogen is a very difficult fuel to control. And so leaks like this do occur, did occur in the shuttle program a lot, and they're occurring a lot in the SLS rocket. They also had a situation where they thought there was, this is a good one, they thought there was a possible crack in part of the core stage known as the intertank flange. This is like a sleeve that the outside skin of the rocket between the hydrogen tank and the oxygen tank. And they thought there was a crack there. They let a crack. No one noticed this, huh? Actually, they looked at it more closely and they thought it was actually not a crack in the body of the rocket, but it was instead on the insulating foam on the outside, which is not a serious problem that does occur periodically in these situations. But then finally, they had to call the launch off because one of the four engines in the core stage, these are engines that used to be on space shuttles. They've now been refurbished and they're going to use them once and throw them away on SLS. One of those four engines would not cool down to the proper temperature before they fuel it. In other words, you don't want to dump super cold hydrogen and oxygen into these engines at normal outside temperature. You got to cool them down first so there won't be any shock to the system. And for some reason, one of those engines would not cool properly. So they tried to figure it out. They couldn't, so they had scrub the launch. They're gonna try to figure out the problem, fix it, and then try again to launch later this week. We don't know if that's going to necessarily happen. Even if it doesn't, there is actually really serious possibilities this could be delayed till next year, John. And if that happens, they might have to tear the whole rocket down and rebuild the core, the solid rocket boosters on the side, and that's even a longer delay. And this almost certainly means that the odds are increasing that SpaceX's Super Heavy Starship will reach orbit before SLS does.
Speaking of SpaceX, apparently, Bob, they've been going to junkyards and picking up old used rockets and using them again. What are they up to?
Oh, they're not getting their used rockets from junkyards. They're their own used rockets. They don't build very many new first stages for the Falcon 9 anymore. They just reuse them endlessly. Maybe one out of every 20 launches, maybe every 10 launches is a new stage. Most of them are old, reused stages. Well, this is even more interesting. This past weekend, they launched 54 Starlink satellites into orbit on a Falcon 9. This was actually the heaviest payload ever launched, most mass ever put up on a Falcon 9 rocket. And what was really interesting is that the first stage, the booster, was a reused booster. It had only been launched once before. But when it launched that one time, when it landed, it got damaged. The landing wasn't smooth. The landing legs were damaged, and so were the engines. So what does SpaceX do? It doesn't do what NASA and the big space, old space companies would have done routinely, which is throw the thing away. No, SpaceX brought it back to the factory and treated it like an airliner. This is a valuable asset. They repaired it. They put in new engines. They repaired the skin. They repaired the legs. And they used it this past weekend to put the largest, heaviest mass payload of a Falcon 9 ever into orbit. And it's successfully landed and will be reused again, John.
I hope you understand. I didn't think they really went to a junkyard. It's just
I know.
A dented first boost, a first stage looks like every other car that survived a parking lot. Now we go to Dish Viasat. What is that, Bob?
Well, DISH is, you know, a ground-based direct communication system, you know, that provides broadcast to customers. And Viasat is a satellite company that is competing with Starlink to provide communications to the world. It sends up geosynchronous satellites while Starlink satellites are low orbit. These two companies teamed up to sue SpaceX to try to get the cost to shut Starlink down. They didn't like it. They said it was going to cause light pollution, it was going to interfere with astronomy, it was going to produce orbital debris and create collision risks. And it would, quote, Viasat will suffer unwarranted competitive injury. In other words, they didn't want a competitor. They wanted the government to shut down competition. That's not how free enterprise works. And the federal court has once again, this is not the first time, has once again rejected this lawsuit. It basically said Viasat satellites in geosynchronous orbit are absolutely not threatened by Starlink in low orbit. And secondly, it's not the government's job to shut down competition. Sorry, Viasat and DISH. If you want to compete, you better compete. So that was thrown out, John.
A handshake between T-Mobile and Starlink to do what? Is this going to compromise my Starlink in some fashion, Bob?
No, but it will help T-Mobile people in the end, and it might be telling us what SpaceX is eventually going to do down the road in terms of its own competitors. And we got a whole bunch of stories having to do with Starlink here. We just did one. This is another. Starlink and T-Mobile have teamed up. T-Mobile is a cellular phone service, and they, you know, like all cellular phone services, their cell towers don't cover every spot of the earth, and there's blank spots. And so they've teamed up. Starlink is going to help fill the dead spots in T-Mobile cell coverage. And it's right now, initially, it's going to only provide customers with messaging and text messaging and select messaging apps, not actual phone service. But that'll eventually come, they say. There is hints here that what SpaceX is eventually going to start doing is maybe if it starts getting more successful, it will team up and even maybe merge with some cell companies, maybe T-Mobile, to provide full service internet and phone service in all ways with both cell towers and constellations in orbit, John. Interesting decision.
So they're going with one carrier, T-Mobile, to fill gaps. And there are big gaps with T-Mobile. That's why I moved.
Oh, it's not so much that Starlink's doing anything, but if you're a T-Mobile user, this deal will fill the gaps for you. And what it's doing is it's telling everybody that Starlink is eventually going to be moving into the cell phone business, covering phones.
The FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr, someone I've spoken with often over the years about security and the People's Republic of China, is voicing an opinion of a decision made by the FCC recently that puzzled you, Bob. What was that decision?
SpaceX, as part of its Starlink operations, had applied for and won a subsidy from the FCC of almost $900 million for providing rural broadband to hard-to-cover areas. The FCC's had this program for a while. The idea is to encourage companies to provide high-speed internet services to those areas where it's not easily available in rural communities. And so SpaceX had gotten an award from the FCC of almost $900 million. Well, on August 10th, the FCC announced almost arbitrarily, in very unclear language, that they were canceling that subsidy to SpaceX. It wasn't going to happen. Well, Brendan Carr, who is one of four FCC commissioners who's supposed to vote on these things, announced last week that he only learned about this decision from a press release while he was on a trip to Alaska. He also added that, quote, it was made without a vote or authorization from the FCC commissioners, which means I don't know if this cancellation carries any political or legal weight. SpaceX might have a real legal case here. They won an award, and it shouldn't be just taken away arbitrarily by some bureaucrat for reasons that, by the way, were not clear. And at the time, they were so unclear, I said this could have to do with political maneuvering in the Biden administration, which is hostile to SpaceX, Elon Musk, and Starlink.
Let me read the quote, Bob, from the FCC chair, Jessica Rosenworcel. The quote is from August 10th press release. We cannot afford to subsidize ventures that are not delivering the promised speeds or are not likely to meet program requirements. That's a complete mystery to me, Bob. Promise speeds. I've got Starlink. The speed is overwhelming. I don't know what this refers to. I wonder if
John, this is the point I made when that announcement was first made. Her reasoning was completely illogical and didn't make any sense. There was no justification for canceling the subsidy at all. I personally don't think these companies should get this money anyway. They're making plenty of profit. Why should the taxpayer be helping them along? But putting that aside, the decision appeared very political and not justified. And that she announced this without having a vote at the FCC commission suggests illegalities or bad conduct of some kind.
These requirements included providing 100 megabits per second download speeds and 20 megabytes per second upload speeds. Well, that's a puzzle. First of all, that's 100 megabytes. I don't think I've seen that achieved that often, but it has happened. And the upload speed at 20, that's very, very demanding. I suppose it's possible. It seems like we're talking about a dispute over speeds, Bob, not really whether it's a subsidy or not. You promised this and you're delivering that. And there's plenty of reason to argue this. Plenty of reason.
Yeah. Those speeds, by the way, I know that Starlink sometimes provides 100 megabyte speeds. Not always, but they sometimes do.
Right.
The fact is, her reasoning suddenly is out of left field because that wasn't mentioned in previous announcements when they awarded the subsidy. She also mentioned the cost of the terminals, but that wasn't mentioned in previous subsidy announcements either. It's like they've just pulled things out of a hat to reject SpaceX. It's very puzzling.
Let's move on to commercial space. I'm more comfortable moving away from Washington. Astra gets a contract to provide engines to OneWeb satellites. This is another Starlink-like exercise. What is Astra? What is OneWeb?
OneWeb is a competitive satellite constellation trying to provide internet to the world. It competes with Starlink. It's a little different, so there's not a perfect overlap for their customers, so they can both survive. Well, they put their satellites up, and they've been subcontracting out to other companies to provide the small ion electric engines that are used to move the satellites in orbit, to maneuver them, to position them, to separate them, to get them in place. Well, it appears that Astra, but who was Astra? Astra was a startup rocket company. It built a rocket. It called it its Rocket Version 3. It did a few launches, several of which failed. And recently it announced it is stepping out of the rocket business temporarily while it develops a bigger, larger rocket, which means it's basically not an operational rocket company anymore. And other companies can fill the take its market share away from it. However, it's now announced, in the process, it purchased another company called Apollo Fusion, which makes these electric engines that satellites use. And so Astra has now won a contract from OneWeb to provide OneWeb satellites that engine for maneuvering its satellites. So this suggests to me that that Astra has been shifting its gears away from rocketry, at least in the short term, that it purchased this satellite engine company for the goal of trying to create a profit stream outside of rocketry. And it does indicate to me that this company might not be a rocket company anymore, but instead be a satellite engine company, John.
I think this story is sad. Boeing is delaying Starliner to 2023. Remind us about Starliner, Bob, and Boeing, it's like they have a Jonah on board, this troubled spacecraft.
It's not just the spacecraft. It's Boeing in general is very troubled, but Starliner is a great representation of that. Starliner is the manned capsule that Boeing was making to provide NASA two different ways to get American astronauts to ISS. Dragon, the Dragon capsules that SpaceX has built, has been already doing this now for 2 years plus. And Starliner was supposed to be in operation at about the same time. They've had numerous engineering problems. They finally successfully did a full demo test unmanned of Starliner to ISS about a month or two ago, but they still had some thrust issues. And because of those thrust issues, Boeing has got to make some fixes. And because they got to make some fixes, they are not going to do a manned flight of Starliner until next year, 23, which puts it 3 years plus behind schedule. And it's a very sad thing. And it really, they've been losing lots of business because they were supposed to be making money selling seats on Starliner. And all that money has been going basically to SpaceX at this point.
All right, we're going to the planets when we come back. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.